being in a tourism area is way different to being in the city. I mean, it's all on at this time of the year. It's all on and it's manic. And then everyone disappears and then there's nothing. So it's very hard to keep staff and, you know, give them regular hours and things.
Oh my goodness, 2024. That is a lot of years. We started doing Dirty Linen in 2020 in the thick of you know what, and now it is 2024. That feels like quite a long time. And I guess it is. We are closing in on 700 podcasts on Dirty Linen. And I honestly couldn't think of anybody better to start off a new year than Sally Wright. Sally is one of those cooks that just knows flavor. She has done so many things. I bet I don't know half of what she has done, but I know she's done a cooking school. She is now running the Stanley Pub. She does food catering direct to your home. But I most recently experienced her food at the Stanley Pub in the Victorian High Country, and it is absolutely banging. Sally, welcome to Dirty Linen and welcome to being my first guest for 2024.
Oh, it's so exciting. All of that.
I'm thrilled to have you on the show. I was at the Stanley Pub during the week and absolutely loved it. Give us a little lowdown for people who don't know that very special place.
Stanley Pub it's cute, isn't it? It's cute as a button. It's this iconic little pub in the middle of Northeast Victoria. Stanley's this cute little farming town where they grow lots of chestnuts and berries and apples. And there's really, I think the population's about 300 people. And the pub's kind of the heartbeat of the little town. It's great.
Tell me about the offering and how you're sort of running this place. And in fact, why are you running this place?
Well, I was approached by Pete Bartholomew, who wanted to buy the pub, and he got me on a weekday. I said, yep, okay, let's do it. And we've taken on the pub, but it's Asian-inspired food basically because we wanted to do something a little bit different to normal pubs around here, because there's lots of great pubs in this area and they're all doing fantastic, authentic pub food. But we decided to do it with a bit of an Asian twist. So that's kind of our offering. And then we've knocked out all the accommodation and we've put in a big general store. So we offer coffee and cake and toasted sandwiches and local produce and local wine and beer and spirits and anything we can get our hands on. And that's about it. Oh, we do our food direct in there as well. So I did my business during COVID was a business called Food Direct, where we just did home-delivered meals. So we've kind of now rebranded that to Stanley Pub Grub, and we sell that out of our general store as well, which is ready-made meals to take home.
Love it. So country pubs, and especially in small communities like Stanley, you know, the stakeholders can be pretty intense and they'll tell you if they're not happy with what you're doing. But, you know, Stanley's also an area that visitors love to come through. You know, people are cycling, they're touring around, they're picking fruit, they're doing, mm-hmm. you know, all the different things. How do you balance the needs of those different communities?
Yeah, that's the tricky thing that's the fun part, really. We do a palmy night on Mondays and Tuesdays, and we try and just do something pretty low-key so that the locals that perhaps are a bit overwhelmed with the whole Asian bit can come in. But it seems to work. The Asian food that we do is not so left of field that it isolates the locals, really. But it's kind of, you know, glamorous enough that everyone's excited to buy it. I don't know. It's a really fine balancing act. It was even when I was doing up the pub, it was a bit like I didn't want to make it be a city pub. I didn't want to make it so fancy that the locals didn't want to sit at the bar and have a beer. But you also get the tourists, so it's got to be nice enough to, I don't know. It is. It's a really fine balancing act. But I think we've kind of done it.
I reckon you have. And it's an exciting menu, but it's very approachable as well. I guess you can always just have a pot and sit in the beer garden with your dog and, take it all in. And as you say, you've got the pub classics a couple of nights a week as well. What are some of the dishes that you love putting in front of people? What really goes off?
Well, with our duck curry is probably it's the best meal we do. Well, not the best, but probably the one we can't take off the menu. It's great. I don't know. We really love doing. We have like a Vietnamese chả cá vả, which is great. I love kind of putting interesting Asian dishes that some people really get, and some people don't. Like the chả cá vả. If you've been to Hanoi and you've been to chả cá vả, you know what it is, and you get excited by it and all that. But we have the banh mi on every day as well, so people love that. We've got a chef out there, Lee Irish, and he's amazing too. He loves Japanese food and Korean food, so he's always putting on, his favourite little dishes that he loves. He's got like this big kimchi pancake on at the moment, which is delicious, and he always has a whole fish. He came from over on the coast, so he's big into seafood, which is a bit weird inland, I know, but we're lucky we get fresh fish up here, three times a week. So he does lots of whole fish. He does big whole fried fish, which is great. It's always my favourite thing. But, no, it's good. It's fun. We just we change the menu up all the time. We have a stock standard menu, but the specials are rotating on pretty high rotation at this time of the year. And we just have fun with it, really.
So, Sally, tell us how you come to be there doing that. Are you from the Victorian High Country? Is that your home turf?
I am from Yarrawonga is where I am. So I'm not quite the High Country. I'm down on the flatlands, but still northeast Victoria. I just came to be here because I lived in Queensland for 16 years, and then I came back because my father was sick. And I ended up thinking, oh, I'll go and live in that little town, Beechworth. That was cute. There's a bit of food and wine there. And that's how I ended up to be here, really by default, to be honest. But that's sometimes how the best things happen.
And was it in Queensland that you started cooking, or where did your chefing journey begin?
No. Weirdly, my chefing journey started in Melbourne many moons ago. I actually started with my own business. I took over the Argo in South Yarra way before it had apartments on it. It was a really cute pub. I don't know if you ever remember that.
I do. Yeah, it really had a great reputation back in the day.
Yeah, so I leased the restaurant out, and I also used to have the Alexandra around the corner, which is also now a house. That was my first foray into kind of running my own business way back when I was a young whippersnapper. And I just used to do a lot of chef work just for anyone that would have me, really. I was just one of those workers that would turn up and wouldn't go home. So I just worked with lots of different people, I'm trying to think who really inspired me. I did a lot of work at Roland's Catering, as was kind of the finishing school in those days. So I worked in the kitchens there and did lots of big events. But, my training, I was never trained as a chef. I was just really one of those people that was just lucky enough to know flavour, really. So that's how I started cooking. Weird but true. I never really had any major training or even anyone I can tell you about that inspired me. There were lots of little people. I actually worked at this little place called Provender in Armidale with a lady called Susie Rogers Wilson, and it was back in those days in the 80s where Tartine and Provender and, they would just all make those big gourmet meals, and all the ladies would come in and, get dinner for 10, or, half their husbands didn't know they couldn't cook because they'd bring in their own dishes, and we'd just fill them up with beautiful homemade food and send them off on their way, and they'd get the ingredients and how to make it, and I'm sure their husbands never knew they couldn't cook. So it was a fun time, but I just, used to work for lots of different people, but I also always just wanted to run my own business. So
yeah, it's so interesting, Sally. I mean, I feel like there's some people, when you eat their food, you just know they get it. Like, they get flavor, they get texture, they get how to put a meal together. I mean, do you think that's something that you built up over the years, or is it something innate in you that drew you to cooking in the first place?
I think it was something innate, and this is so weird. I used to go to William Angliss, and I used to work at a little shop around the corner called Heroes. It was a sandwich bar on King Street. And I remember one day I went there and the chef hadn't turned up, and the guy just said, get in the kitchen and cook. The chef's not here. I said, I don't cook. Let's make sandwiches. Anyway, he goes, just make anything. And I went in there and I just opened the fridge and I just started cooking. And I loved it, and it was amazing. And everyone's going, oh, my goodness, this food's amazing. And so from that day, I was the chef. I'd never cooked a thing in my life. But I suppose, looking back at it, I was brought up on a farm. We used to grow all our own vegetables. We grew all our own meat. You know, I never really thought my mother was much of a cook, but we did cook every night, and we'd go and cook the vegetables. And so I suppose I was getting training early on, not really realising that that's not how everyone lived, that it was, you know, was quite a special way to be brought up, but not really realising how lucky I was at the time.
That's so interesting. I love that. I don't know, you're probably too busy to reflect on it all in daily life, but, I mean, what do you think you bring to your work now? Like, what is it that makes something a Sally Wright operation or a Sally Wright dish?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a whole lot of everything. I think, that's a hard one, isn't it? I really like to be, I think the hospitality industry, I think I'm old fashioned. I'm old school hospitality. I still believe in hospitality and generosity and big flavours and making you feel comfortable and welcome. It's the whole package. So I think for me it's about even how the place smells when you walk in and the feeling and the music and the lights, and it's all that stuff that make people feel warm and welcome and at home. And the food is a big part of it, but it's only one part of it. So I think it's all, you know, it's all the little bits and pieces that come together that make it a Sally Wright experience, so to speak.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because it just, as you were speaking, it made me think about when we arrived the other day and you said, now I've got you a nice table by the window. And I just thought that's just like an extra layer of thought or description or a way of welcoming. It's like, it's not just like, yeah, you've made a reservation, here's your spot. It's like you feel properly welcomed.
Yes, but it's a part of it, isn't it? It's even like when you go to get the coffee, you're like, you know, we've got a lovely coffee guy here. It's just, you like someone to call you by your name. It's all that stuff just to make you feel welcome and warm. And, you know, I don't know that there's a lot of that around anymore just in normal everyday life. I mean, when you find it, it's really special. So, yeah, I hope that's a part of what I represent to people. I'm not really quite sure. I'm speaking for myself, but I hope that's what people feel.
And what about staff? Because, I mean, there's the experience that you create for your guests, but, of course, none of it happens without an experience that you create for staff. So tell me about your philosophy around that.
Yeah, it's I read a lovely thing the other day that was like, people say, oh, staff are like your family, and they kind of are, but you're also workmates and you have to respect each other. I don't want you to talk to me like a sister that you're angry at. I want you to talk to me like I'm a staff mate that, you know, you respect, and we all do that. We all get on really well. We've got a really great team. I'm very fortunate to have, you know, got some amazing. Everyone's local, everyone lives in Stanley or Beechworth, so we're just really lucky and everyone looks out for each other and has each other's back. And so I suppose in that respect it's great. We all do look after each other and, you know, we make sure that someone's there to greet people, and if someone looks like they're having a problem, someone quickly run in to help them. So it's great. It's really good. even on New Year's Day, sorry, I was just going to say, I have a couple, I've got like four chefs out there, and there was a couple there, and they left there to cook on New Year's Day, and they weren't the head chefs, and they did such an amazing job. And, you know, I just thought, wow, you've all just really come together and pulled it off. It's fantastic.
I'd say there wouldn't be many country publicans who would say, yep, we've got a great team. Everyone, we're fully staffed. Everyone's local. They stick around. I mean, that's pretty special.
Yeah, it is special. It is special. I like to think that, you know, I like to think that I look after people, and I'm just, you know, I think I'm normal. I'm not crazy. I'm not a, you know, you've met some pretty crazy people in hospitality. I'm fairly stable. I don't know. No, we do have a great team, and we do keep them. And yeah, I'm lucky.
Love it. Love it. Well, you make your luck in a lot of ways. One other thing that I did want to touch on is the way that the menu is written, because I think that so speaks to the experience. It's very chatty. It's very conversational. There's lots of annotations as though somebody's just, you know, scrawled a few extra notes just for you on the menu. So there's a few examples. So I love the way that you've got edamame, but you've spelt it out like ED-A-MAM-AY. So that if anybody is unsure about how to pronounce edamame, they've got a little bit of instruction. Like, it's just very inclusive and welcoming. Lotus fries, and you've written, yes, this is a vegetable. I just think that's so nice. It's just really gives people, it brings people into a conversation immediately.
Yeah. And I love that. I hate reading a menu where I go, what's that? What are they talking about? You know, like, I know food and I kind of think, oh, I've got no idea what you're talking about there. I don't know what it is. And so I don't want that. And I suppose that's about the approachability as well. I never want people to feel like they don't know what something is, or, you know, what do I drink with that? What are you meant to eat with Asian food? What's, you know, everyone always wants to know what a lotus fry is. Did we cut the holes in the potato? You know, so I suppose I'm trying to take out so people don't feel stupid.
I also love, you've got a note, please note, we do not split bills, Sunday surcharge applies, but you've written, this is both a system and a time thingy, and I'm assuming that's about the splitting bills. I think that's so real.
Yeah, because that's a hard one, isn't it? Because people don't understand why you won't sit there with a table of 20 and put everyone through individually. And so it's really hard to explain to people the back end of stuff, that you're not just being a dick, you know, and you don't want to do it. It's just that someone would actually have to stand there for an hour and a half putting each person's meals through, and, you know, at a time where, you know, wages and margins are killing us, you just don't really have time to do that. So, you know, that's really just to explain why we won't stand there and take everyone's food off individually, because I don't think people understand it. I get so many emails saying, I think it's stupid you don't split bills. You know, what kind of service have you got there? And I think, I'll go anywhere in the world. You get the same.
That's really interesting. I mean, you know, it's something that comes up a lot on this podcast is margins, and, you know, how costs are, always going up. I mean, where do you think things are at? What sort of year do you think 2024 is going to be for HOSPO?
I don't know what's going to happen this year. It's going to be really, really interesting. I don't think things are going to get better quickly. I think we're probably in for pretty much the same. I don't know. I mean, it's just that thing, isn't it? We're always trying to find ways to trim. We were just talking yesterday about, you know, how do you streamline your staff, really? I mean, being in a tourism area is way different to being in the city. I mean, it's all on at this time of the year. It's all on and it's manic, and then everyone disappears and then there's nothing. So it's very hard to keep staff and, you know, give them regular hours and things. So for us, we just play around with, you know, obviously staffing issues. That's what everyone's got. It's interesting. That's my conversation I always have. You know, it's like if an electrician puts their prices up, people don't care about paying $200 for an electrician to come for 10 minutes. But yet if all our prices get put up and we put up, you know, if realistically you had to charge $25 for a sandwich, no one would pay for it. So we're kind of stuck in that twilight zone where it's we can only really charge what the market will bear. So I don't really know, Danny. I don't know what's going to happen this year. I think it'll be interesting. I don't think it's going to get better quickly. I just think it's a bit of a time for – I think we're all going to have to kind of pivot again. I hate that word, but, gee, I'm good at it. You know, I don't know. Like we're just trying to develop some, you know, as I said with the Stanley Pub Grub, just another line that we can have another stream of income coming in. I'm going to put in a cooking school out the back so that during winter I can at least, you know, run cooking classes and stuff, so that might help the winter months, you know, pass by a bit more profitably. How many ways can you skin a cat?
Yeah, well, a mutual friend of ours, Mel Kettle, she knew I'd visited the pub recently because I put it on my Instagram, and she said, I've been to a lot of cooking schools and Sally Wright's cooking school is the best. So I reckon, yeah, you'll definitely have some takers if you do the cooking school again.
Yeah, that's my passion. I really love teaching. I love people when they think it's really difficult and just showing them how easy it really is, but they just have to love it first. I think people get a bit uptight about cooking.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because I'd say, I mean, it's a cliche to say you can taste the love in the food, but I would say it's definitely a hallmark of your food. But, yeah, how do you put love into food? That's the formula that you need to impart. Somehow you can do that. Sally, good luck skinning the cat this year. And yeah, thanks for doing what you're doing. It's wonderful to catch up. Yeah, thanks for a beautiful meal. And yeah, the duck curry was sensational. But I'd say everything was really great. That Ikan Bilis, just a little drinking snack at the start. You can't really go wrong with that. So yeah, it was all good. And really appreciate your time, especially at this busy period. But yeah, all the best.
Thanks for coming. Happy New Year.
You too.
Take care. We'll see you soon.
This is Dirty Linen and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta @dirtylinenpodcast. We can't wait to hear from you.